Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 417, The Resurrection Stone. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, April 20th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus and for the power of Jesus' name. We thank you for that all authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus. And that authority has been transferred to us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we just ask you, Father God, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today, that his life and his power, the power of his resurrection, would arise in us, that your word will be mighty inside of us, Lord, and Father God, that we will really reach the ends of the earth with the good news that Jesus is Lord and that he's coming back soon. And for it, we're grateful and thankful in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. So I want to speak to you today about the resurrection stone. But I want to begin in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, fourth chapter, where it talks about memorial stones. In Joshua chapter 4, the first verse, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Then you shall carry them over with you into the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children in time to come ask, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial for the children of Israel forever. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. Then Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are until this day." So what do these stones mean to you? So when we look back in history, this was the time when the children of Israel crossed into the promised land. You know, God is a God of covenant. He keeps his covenant and he keeps his promises. So these stones then signified the God of the covenant who keeps promises. And it was a reminder to every generation that followed these people that God is the covenant-keeping God. They never wrapped these stones with tradition, with the priests recreating the scene of that event. As far as we know, they never went back to the other side of the Jordan, crossed over again, tried it again, demonstrated, had a parade about it. But those stones stood there as a constant reminder of the God that brought them out of Egypt, that brought them out of slavery, that brought them into the promised land, that brought them into a place of abundance. They marked the time and the place where God made covenant with them and kept his promise to take his people into the land of milk and honey, the promised land. These stones were never meant to be an idol, but they were meant to be a reminder to the generations of the mighty power of God. So when you think about those kinds of things, what about our Christian memorials? I was watching a YouTube video or a reel by Jonathan Kahn this past week, and he was talking about the pagan origins of much of the tradition that surrounds Easter. The name Easter is not even a Christian thing. It comes out of a pagan god, Oestra, or Astra, which is kind of weird, you know, that we would have those kind of things in Christianity, but some of our German ancestors carried this stuff in, you know, so it's been here for a long, long time. So the word Easter is actually mentioned in the Bible, incorrectly, however. In Acts chapter 12, verse 4, the King James Version says that they were holding, I think, James and John until after Easter. But the real word for that they translated Easter is really Passover. It's Pesach. And most of the translations today, besides the King James Version, actually translated as Passover. So Easter is a made-up thing, the name Easter. And Jonathan Kahn was pointing out, you know, some of the problems and some of the things that came along with the celebration of Easter taken out of pagan customs. So where does that name come from? According to one of the websites, the name Easter is believed to be derived from the Anglo-Saxon goddess Estra, symbolizing spring and renewal, and many of its traditions, like eggs and bunnies, are linked to themes of new life. So, what do these stones mean to you? Is it about bunnies and eggs, or is it about Jesus rising from the dead? Have memorials of faith just become another pile of rocks to you? If they have, maybe this is the reason, because some of these things have kind of shaded how we look at the celebrations that are meaningful. Easter celebrations were not popular among early American settlers. Puritans felt that Easter celebrations were too non-Christian. It was not until the Civil War that Easter became as popular in the United States as in Europe. So where should we go with that? Well, I always think that we should go back to the Word of God. Let's look back to the Word of God, and let's take our cue from the people who wrote the Bible. The Apostle Paul was a practicing Jewish rabbi of the strictest sect of the Pharisees. Here's how he placed the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. You can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 and 21. He said it this way. He said, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead." So consequently, today, April 20th, it's the first day of the Feast of the First Fruits, instituted in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the 9th through the 12th verse, if you care to check up on what the Feast of the First Fruits is. So Paul says that Jesus is our first fruits because he was raised from the dead and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus in that way. So is the stone of Resurrection Day relevant to us today? I think it is. I think it's absolutely relevant. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 24, where it talks about one of the stones of the resurrection. Verse 1, chapter 24 of the book of Luke says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were perplexed about this that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Verse 8 says, "And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest." So there we see that there is some significance in stones. The one stone was the one that got rolled away. That would have been worth getting up for, I think. You know, maybe getting up early to see the angels roll away the stone. It's a stone of remembrance. Now, then, as far as we know, nobody kept that stone and nobody put it in a church and made a relic out of it. But it's a stone that we can remember because we can find it in the Word of God. It's a stone of remembrance. It says they remembered his words, that he would die, that he would be crucified, that he would rise again. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement for our peace was placed on him, and with his stripes we were healed. That's worth remembering. That's worth having a landmark. That's worth celebration. That's worth getting up early for. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A few weeks earlier, before this, Mary and Martha were grieving the death of their brother Lazarus. Jesus had assured them of the resurrection of the dead. In John chapter 11, 24, we read this. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So do you really believe this? Now's the time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So what is the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus for modern Christians? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout of the archangel and with the trumpet of God," which Pastor Don just spoke about a little while ago. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So the resurrection of Jesus is not solely just about his resurrection, but it's about what he purchased for us and our future resurrection with him. Praise the Lord. So then why is the resurrection of Jesus still central today to the Christian faith? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep have perished." So it's a central aspect of the faith, the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's something that's worthy of celebration. Praise the Lord. But it also is a vital and an essential aspect of our daily life. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, I have counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being comforted to his death, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul was still reaching for his relationship with Jesus that would result in resurrection from the dead. So here are three key aspects of the resurrection power of Jesus in our lives. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So our life of faith depends on his resurrection power in us. Number two, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So the renewal of our minds, the transformation of our thinking daily, depends on his resurrection power. And then finally, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Passion Version says it this way. Yes, God raised up Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So our physical and our mental health rely on an impartation of resurrection life from the Holy Spirit. We can't escape those things, and we celebrate today that we have life in Jesus and life evermore because of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And we look forward to his return and catching us back with him when it's time. Praise the Lord. So what do these stones mean to you? You have to decide that for yourself. Is it about the $90 billion that are spent on chocolate and other things? Is it about the 90 million Easter bunnies today? Or is it about a resurrected Jesus who brings life and brings it abundantly? You just have to make the choice and live it out in front of your friends, your neighbors. And as Tanya so eloquently told us before, we need to take it outside the walls of this place. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. So, Father, we just ask you today for a greater release of the power of faith, the dead power of and death to power of sin and the flesh. We ask you, Father God, for the destruction of the destructive ways that we've been thinking, all the stinking thinking, and that you would renew our minds, Father, to your thinking and to your ways. We know that your word says that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but you never said that we couldn't think your thoughts or live in your ways. So we ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would live that through us. And Father, we ask you for a mighty rush of your healing power, disease-denying, death-defying anointing of the Holy Spirit to come. We ask you, Lord, that we would be able to take that to our generation, Father God, that we would reach them with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus, that we would really know Jesus in the power of his resurrection, as the Apostle Paul encouraged us to press in for. And we ask you, Father, that through the blood of Jesus and through the power of Jesus' name, that we can take this gospel message to the ends of the earth. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. So in summary, I just would say this. When Paul said that I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, that we would take that on as our motto. Paul's expression of his quest to know Jesus should be the heart cry of every believer. He recognized that we cannot earn our own salvation. Knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection comes with a cost. We can't fully experience the power of his resurrection unless we are crucified with him. Only then can the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in us, and we can experience that resurrection life and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to pray for those online. Father, I just ask you that you would bless them as we part our ways today, that you would bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them, that you would be gracious to them, lift your countenance upon them, and fill them with your peace in Jesus' name. Mighty resurrection power to you today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.